you today. Really, it is wonderful. Because last year, I could not speak at all. I couldn't call out to a friend. I couldn't ask for a drink. I couldn't read the scriptures in the synagogue. I love reading the scriptures. I couldn't speak to my wife, Elizabeth. It was tough for her too, after all our decades together, decades of marriage. Suddenly she had a husband who couldn't say a word. Although, overall, Elizabeth didn't really seem to mind. To tell you the truth, I didn't find it crushing either. Because if we don't count the year we're in now, last year was the best year of our lives. It wasn't great because of the forced silence I went through. It was great despite the forced silence. See, until recently, our neighbours viewed Elizabeth and I as pitiful. Elizabeth put it more strongly. She says she felt disgraced. You see, Elizabeth and I have never been able to have children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. But Elizabeth and I had not been blessed. And the worst thing about it was that we couldn't see any reason why the good Lord had not blessed us with children. We loved the Lord. I love His law. Like the psalmist writes, how I love your law. Your word is a lamp to my feet, is a light to my path. I will follow your righteous laws. I could say that with the psalmist. I love God, and yet Elizabeth and I had no children, and people would whisper behind our backs. They'd say, oh, they might look okay on the surface, but they must have sinned in some bad way. That's why God hasn't given them any children. And it hurt. And it especially hurt as we grew older and became too old to have children. But still, Elizabeth and I served God. We cried out to God as well. We cried out in prayer. We prayed not just for ourselves. We prayed for our land. We prayed for God's people, Israel. See, we know God made His holy covenant with our ancestors. We know God will rescue us from our enemies. He has promised. And Elizabeth and I kept looking and hoping and praying for God's salvation. As we looked around, we'd see the desperate need for God to save His people. You know, there are the Romans, the occupation. You know how brutal that is. But it wasn't just the Romans. It was also the sin and the wickedness of the people around us, the way they were living, and people who ought to be living as God's people. So we'd cry out to God in prayer. And I have a special responsibility to cry to God, to pray to God on behalf of the people, because I am a priest. I am a descendant of Aaron, a priest of the division of Abijah. It's not super special. There are thousands of priests in Israel, which means that we only get to go and serve in the temple on the feast days and on 2 weeks when we're rostered on. But when I go there, when I am serving in the temple, I'm continually praying to God for Israel's salvation. And what I really wanted to do was to be able to take my prayer right into the heart of the temple. To take it right in there to the holy place. Rather, entrance to the Holy of Holies. To God's earthly throne room. But see, only one priest is chosen by lot. Well, only one priest gets to enter the holy place each morning and each evening. And always when they drew the name out, I'd be hoping and they'd read out the name. And it was never me. And I started to feel I'd never be the one to bring the incense, to bring the prayers right into the holy place. Man, I'm the oldest priest, or one of the oldest priests still serving. But early last year, when I was, my division was serving in the temple, they drew the name out, and it was Zechariah. It was my name. I was so nervous. I was so excited. My hands were literally shaking as I washed, as I dressed in the spotless robes. This was the biggest day of my life. I had composed myself quite a lot by the time it came time to prepare the incense, and I prepared the incense and I came forward, and the other priests who would pray with me afterwards, I'd done that myself, being the priest to go with the person going in and would pray with me afterwards when I came out. They came with me, and also actually as I went, approached the curtain, it was after the evening sacrifice, and lots of other worshippers came to pray as the incense was being offered as well. And then as they all stopped, and I was the one to go through the curtain into the holy place. And it was beautiful. There was the seven-pronged lampstand casting its light onto the gold, the engravings. And it reminded me how holy, how perfect, how beautiful our God is. I was silently praying as I approached the altar of incense. And then suddenly there was an angel on the right-hand side of the altar. Now, I've heard that some people think that when you see an angel, it's like, ah, isn't that nice? I have seen a real angel, a messenger from the Creator of everything. A messenger from the Holy God in all His purity. And I wanted to say, ah, and fall down and cover my head from His power and His glory. But I couldn't, of course, because I was holding the incense, the holy incense, to offer before God. So I was just frozen with terror. And then he spoke to me.
Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Can you imagine my heart racing? I couldn't take it all in. My mind was racing too. You know, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, it echoes the great prophecies of Malachi and Isaiah, and these thoughts were running around my head. The promise, my son, that I would have a son, my son would be the one to bring people back to God. As my mind spun though, it kept bang, hitting this massive block. Son? At my age? At Elizabeth's age? At biology here? How can I be sure of this? I spoke to the angel and said, I am an old man and my wife is well along in years.
I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time.
After that, I said nothing. I couldn't. And then, as I headed back to the curtain, I eventually became aware of the outside world again. I could hear people talking on the other side of the curtain saying, what's taking him so long? Or maybe the old man's died. What do we do now? And then as I stepped between the heavy curtains, I could could feel the eyes burning into me. I could see the questions on the tips of their tongues, but everybody had to wait with their questions while the priest stepped forward and prayed the benediction with me, except that when I tried to pray out loud, I couldn't make a noise. And then when I turned around to face the people, there was massive confusion facing all the questions. And I tried to explain without words. I'm not a sign language expert. The glory of the angel is no way you could, I haven't described it to you with words, let alone to be able to sign. But eventually I was able to help people understand that I had seen a vision. And you can imagine when I come home after my week away to Elizabeth, my wife, she was stunned when I came home silent. But Elizabeth was so patient with me. So she was the one who thought of buying a wax tablet so I could write messages to her. But it wasn't easy to communicate even a fraction, let alone everything, of what the angel had told me. I mean, it's almost too good to believe. Almost too good to be true. But how could she take this in? And yet here was her husband, silent. And then, before long, she felt the changes in her body. Changes she thought she would never feel. Elizabeth knew she was going to have a son, as the angel promised. She's a pretty special woman, my wife. So when she decided to stay in seclusion for the first half of her pregnancy, I accepted that. And, well, part of what that meant was that I had to go out and do the shopping. Except, of course, I couldn't speak, and so I was doing the signing to the shopkeepers and taking my wax tablet with me as well. It was a challenge, but it was sort of fun after a while. As well as shopping, I had a lot of time to think, a lot of time to reflect on what the angel had said. And I realised that the angel had been telling me that, announcing that the great prophecies of Malachi, of the prophet Malachi, would be fulfilled in my son, in Elizabeth's child. God had promised, you see, let me read from the scriptures. I've got a scroll here. Malachi 3. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And from the very end, this is the final prophecy of Malachi, final prophecy in the scriptures. It says, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. God himself was coming, is coming. God himself was somehow going to come among his people. And my son, the child growing in Elizabeth, would be the prophet like Elijah to prepare the way for God. Take that in. And then, on top of all these things, last year we had a surprise visit from Elizabeth's young cousin, Mary. And somehow Elizabeth knew from her baby's reaction that Mary was carrying a child who would be the one who would bring God among us. Our son was to prepare the way for the child of young Mary. And when this happened, I was reminded again how wonderful my wife is. She wasn't jealous of Mary or upset that her son was not going to be the great king or the great hero, but he would prepare the way for another. Elizabeth was just thrilled at what God was doing. She was honoured with the part God gave her to play. And it was a bit crowded in the house with Mary staying with us as well, but she was a great help, especially as the time grew nearer for Elizabeth. Could you imagine the anticipation, the excitement as we were waiting for the birth? You see, for months, I'd been waiting to speak, and maybe God would let me speak again. For decades, Elizabeth and I had been hoping for a child. And now we would have one. For centuries, Israel had been waiting for God's salvation. And now it was coming. Remember, it had been 4 centuries since the last true prophet in Israel. The anticipation was just immense. And then the baby was born. I was so thrilled. I said to Elizabeth, well, nothing. I still couldn't speak. And which, apart from everything I would have liked to say, I had this job to name the baby. But still, over a week later, when it was time to circumcise my son, to name him as part of, to mark him off as part of God's people, by that stage, all the relatives and friends came in and they chimed in with their opinion on his name. Some wanted to name him after me, maybe thinking, now I couldn't speak. You know, it's like, they seemed to think that just because I couldn't think anymore, just because I couldn't speak. See, I knew our son is called John. The angel had named the baby months ago. He already had a name, but nobody asked me. Just because I couldn't speak. And then Elizabeth, who I had told, you know, using the thing, she knew his name was John. She told them his name was John, but they didn't want to listen to her either. And then so finally, when they got frustrated arguing with Elizabeth, then they asked me. And so I wrote, his name is John, as the angel told me. And suddenly I could speak again, and I praised God. He is so good. You know, for centuries, though, there had not been prophecy in Israel, but God's Holy Spirit came on me, and I prophesied. I, Zechariah, the aging priest, I prophesied it. And actually, we wrote it down. I think surely sometime somebody will come and put this all in a book one day. And I said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of our enemies, to enable us to serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And then I turned to the child, to John, and said, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Anyway, it's been wonderful to be able to speak to you about all of this, to tell you about this. It's not just wonderful because I could speak again. It's not just wonderful because it was an exciting time for me. This is wonderful news for you. This is massive news for everyone. God has come to rescue his people. Amen. God has sent the great king. God has kept the promises he made to Abraham and David. God calls you. He calls all his people. He calls all people. God calls you to come back to him. And he has opened the way for us. Opened a way for us, even people like me and you, to serve him in holiness and in righteousness. Because God has come to deal with our sins and bring forgiveness. Are you living in darkness? Are you living under the shadow of death? We all face the darkness. But God's Son from heaven has risen and will shine on us now. Are you struggling to know the way? Are you struggling to have peace? God has come to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is wonderful news. And I'm so glad I could speak to you about it today.